Okay, Erev Tov. Tonight we're going to walk into our next tshuva as we discuss groundbreaking tshuvot of the last century. And one of the most famous tshuvot that is often quoted and has really widespread ramifications both in halacha as well as hanhaga ben adam l'chavero and ben adam l'makom is an incredible tshuva that we'll see together shortly by Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach regarding the question of lifnei iver. When is something going to be considered, quote unquote, putting a stumbling block in front of the blind or not? So Rav Shlomo Zalman was really considered the posek hador in Eretz Yisrael in the previous generation. Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, in his article, Le'ulei Nishmat Rav Shlomo Zalman, he really said that Rav Shlomo Zalman was Rav Moshe's real contemporary in Eretz Yisrael. Rav Shlomo Zalman, after he made Aliyah, he said that he couldn't ask Rav Soloveitchik Hashailos anymore, so he accepted Rav Shlomo Zalman as his posek and personal Rebbe. Shows you a lot about the type of person that Rav Shlomo Zalman really was. Rav Shlomo Zalman was born in July 1910 and passed away February 1995 at the age of 84. He was born in Shari Chesed Yerushalayim back in the, you know, pre-state era. And he was born into a rabbinic family. His grandmother and his grandfather on his mother's side was Rav Shlomo Zalman Porush, for whom he was named and was really the founder of the Shari Chesed community. And his father, Rav Chaim Yehuda Leiborbach, was a Rosh Yeshiva of Yeshiva Shar Shemayim in Yerushalayim. He himself grew up in a rabbinic family, and he spent much of his life, you know, in the Olam HaTorah, where he learned as a child in Yeshiva Eitz Chaim in the Old City. And then there was a time, actually, where he learned in the Kol Kerem Tzion, which was Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, the Har Tzvi's Kolel, to learn HaMitzvah Tzuyah Baaretz in Yanei Eretz Yisrael. And later on, he was the Rosh Yeshiva of Kol Torah in Yerushalayim. He was considered unanimously, really, the posek hador in the Israeli, you know, Haredi Litvish scene, particularly in the Yerushalayim, that's for sure, and in the world of the Ashkenazim, definitely. Rav Shlomo Zalman, what was fascinating and incredible about Rav Shlomo Zalman was, well, on one hand, he was Haredi as Haredi comes, hashkafically, he aligns within the world of Haredi. He is considered, you know, his whole thing was, he was a massive Ohev Yisrael. You can't find a picture of Rav Shlomo Zalman. Look online later, a picture of Rav Shlomo Zalman. He constantly has he has this huge smile on his face. He was a massive Ohev Yisrael. He was the Gabbai Tzedakah. He was an incredible Ish Chesed who was constantly, the amount of money that went through his hands to give tzedakah to people was incredible. And he was constantly, didn't matter whether you were religious, not religious, from Ashkenazi, Sephardi, boy, girl, didn't matter who you were. Rav Shlomo Zalman, his house was really always open, no matter what. The stories about him are endless, from the simplest thing of, before he would walk into his house from yeshiva, he would tuck in his shirt, put on his hat, because he was going to greet his wife. That's something you don't necessarily expect from the Rosh Yeshiva, you know. This is something that, you know, he would always travel on public buses. Once the story goes that when he was on a public bus, there were a bunch of high school kids complaining about how annoying and boring physics class was. And Rav Shlomo Zalman, they know where he was. And Rav Shlomo Zalman turned around, how can you not enjoy physics? You understand how the world works and how everything. He was someone who was incredibly learned in the sciences, in medicine, in biology, physics, etc. Professor Alman, Nobel laureate from Israel, whose son was killed in 82, I believe, was very, very close with Rav Shlomo Zalman. He was a student, but he was also a little bit, sort of a contemporary, a famous professor of physics, says that, you know, he was very close to Rav Shlomo Zalman all the years. They used to have like a chavruta. Professor Alman would give an hour physics lecture. Rav Shlomo Zalman would then learn with him a chavruta in Torah. That was part of their relationship. I read this past Shabbos, in a fascinating sefer by Rav Yaakov Ariel called Yarev Sichi. He writes that when he was it's a dialogue between Rav Ariel and Rav Arale, who's also a Rosh Yeshiva of the Hezder world. He, when he was learning in Merkaz HaRav, he had a spring watch, and there was a discussion at the time whether or not spring watches are mutter or usser to wear on Shabbos because of how they rewind, etc. And so someone said, go ask Rav Shlomo Zalman. And he went to Rav Shlomo Zalman's house. And he said, Rav Shlomo Zalman, I have this watch. Am I allowed to wear it? He called Rav Shlomo Zalman on the phone, sorry. I have a spring watch. I'm not sure. Am I allowed to wear it on Shabbos or not? And Rav Shlomo Zalman said, there's two types of watches. I don't know which one it is. Come to my house and I'll look at it and tell you no. So he went to Rav Shlomo Zalman's house that day during lunch. Rav Shlomo Zalman took out from his drawer a set of watchmaker's tools, opened the watch, told him the watch is mutter, put the watch together, and forced him to take 20 shekels and said, go to the watchmaker down the block to make sure that I closed it properly. I'm not a professional watchmaker. And he went to the watchmaker's house, even though he refused, he really didn't want to take the money. And the watchmaker said, he does this all the time. He sends people to me, you know, once or twice a week with watches. Rav Shlomo Zalman's a master watchmaker. I don't know why he keeps doing this. He wants to be mechazek my parnasik. He's afraid people aren't going to go to watchmakers. They're just going to go to the rabbi to check their watch for them. You know, this is something that he was, when the first car came into Yerushalayim, all of his friends from yeshiva went to go see the first car driving in Yerushalayim, and Rav Shlomo Zalman wasn't going to go. And his friend said, why aren't you going to go? Everyone's going to see the first car. Rav Shlomo Zalman said, I don't really care to see the car. I'm learning. And his friend said to him at the time, I don't know the guy's name, but Rav Ariel quotes us over there in that same area on Yarev Sichi, on I think around page 360, around there, Be'erach. I could be wrong on that. Where he writes, Rav Shlomo Zalman responded, his friend said, how can you not go see the car when you're going to be the posek ador? How are you going to pass in shilas about cars? And Rav Shlomo Zalman, as a young bachar, responded and said, you're right. When I'm the posek ador, I'll understand how cars work. But watching a car drive won't teach me how it works. Sitting down with a mechanic, sitting down with an electrician, will help me understand how the car works. Just watching a car drive on the street because it's cool is called bittul Torah, and went back and learned. But that was part of who he was. The amount of svarim that we have from him, you know, he himself wrote Me'orei Eish at a very young age, all about the halachos of electricity on Shabbos. He knew how electricity worked. He knew the ins and outs of, you know, of the way the electronic structure of a house works, what wires do, etc. Rav Shlomo Zalman knew the Metzias 100%. You know, that was part of his whole back and forth with the Chazon Ish. He wrote Ma'adonai Eretz with two volumes on the halachos of agriculture, mitzvot tluyot ba'aretz, trying to engage how we can have a modern state, a modern country in Israel that works al pi halacha. This was part of his specialty, mixing the Metzias, the situation on the ground, and the halacha. Shoot, Minchat Shlomo, three volumes, that's what we're talking from tonight. The Shurim of Minchat Shlomo, okay, and then there was that on Shas, and there's many more Svarim written by his students and whatnot. The Shulchan Shlomo, 10 volumes. Halichot Shlomo, written by his grandsons, that's at least 6 or 7 volumes. There's numerous others, but famously, there's also Svarim that were written by his students that he gave his psak on and he gave his eskamas to. Most famously, we have the Shmir Shabbos Kilchata that has all the footnotes of Rav Shlomo Zalman for one of his most famous Talmidim, Rav Neuvert, all about Hilchos Shabbos and Halacha L'maisa, as well as the Nishmat Avram, his student professor, Rabbi Dr. Avram, all about medical halacha, and he really was proficient. He knew the medicine and the halacha inside. We could talk about Rav Shlomo Zalman for hours, but really that's really a little bit of his personality. His sons, 7 sons, 3 daughters, many of whom were rabbis themselves. The chief rabbi of Tveria, Rav Avram Dov, Rav Azriel, the Rav of Bayit Vagan, who's the son-in-law of Rav Eliashiv. His son-in-law was just nifter a few months ago. Rav Zalman Nechemya Goldberg was one of the main dayanim in Eretz Yisrael, major posek. His other son, Rav Shmuel Orbach, who was nifter last year, was the head of the Peleg Yerushalmi and Rosh Shiva in Yerushalayim. Really a incredibly fantastic family. Other, you know, and major Talmud Chacham, major posek, also major student was Rav Nevensol, the Rav of the Old City, and many other, you know, you can't walk into almost any, you know, I could say for myself, when I look at my Rebbeim, almost all of my Rebbeim are either Talmidim of Rav Shlomo Zalman or Rav Soloveitchik. You know, my Rebbe and Rosh Shiva, Rav Yaakovson, was a very close Talmid of Rav Shlomo Zalman, so was Rav Amital, and Rav Yamar. Many of my Rebbeim learned under Rav Shlomo Zalman, because even though he was, you know, his yeshiva, Rosh Shiva of Kol Torah, was a Haredi yeshiva, there were many more, you know, stark Torani students who were learning that, even though they didn't necessarily come from a Haredi background. Really, part of Shlomo Zalman was he was a massive Oy Yisrael. He was always smiling, always trying to help other people. Ben Adam L'Chavero, Ben Adam L'Makom, and a major posek who knew the Metzias in and out, and that affected his psak really through and through, and that we're going to see very much in our tshuva tonight. So that's a little bit of Akdama. Rav Shlomo Zalman's tshuva, as we're going to see tonight in Shu'at Minchat Shlomo, in Chelek Kama, Chelek Aleph, right? There's 3 volumes, Kama Aleph, Kama Bet, and then Tanina. Why that's how it's quoted, I don't really know, but that's just how it's done. And the question is, what's going to be the case if someone comes to my house, who's not religious, can I give them food? Right? You have a plumber, you have an electrician, you have someone who's coming to you know, do some sort of work around your house, and you want to offer them a cold cup of water, you want to offer them something to eat because they're working very hard. What happens if you're running a function, right? You want to have a charity dinner, and you invite delegates, you know, who are very chashuv people, whether they're in political or philanthropical ways, but they're not religious. Are you allowed to invite them? Are you allowed to give them food? Are you allowed to give them drink? When, you know, at the end of the day, that's going to be lifnei aver. You're going to give the plumber a cup of cold water. He's going to drink it because he's very warm and, you know, he's been working hard, but he's not going to make a bracha. Is that going to be lifnei aver? So Rav Shlomo Zalman opens up with the question. First and foremost, we have to realize our purpose in this world, what we're trying to do, is we're trying to do everything l'shem shemayim. We're trying to make sure that everything we do is emes, is yashar, 100%. Okay? Right? You have someone who's a chashav guest, comes to you, who's not religious. But even though he's not religious, he has ahava l'bnei Torah. He respects religious people. He loves religious people, right? This is what we could call maybe today in the modern Israeli scene, there's someone who's very traditional, Mesorati, right? They themselves might not be Shomer Torah mitzvot, but they have a positive relationship with the Torah world, even if they themselves are not religious. Okay? It's not someone who's, you know, anti-religious or something like that, but someone who's, they're not religious, but they're very respecting. And as a result, if the Balabayit, right, if you're not going to treat them with respect, then they might, and you're not going to treat them properly, then maybe he'll carry some resentment towards you, and as a result, towards the entire religious community, right? I'm sure everyone, before, you know, when you were in third grade, you were getting on the bus to go to whatever school trip, to the zoo or the museum, your teacher's always like, don't forget to say thank you, because that's a Kiddush Hashem, or, you know, don't make a Chil Hashem. I'm sure everyone knows that classic speech from, like, lower school, middle school, and honestly, high school, and probably also in, you know, I don't know if they do that here also, but that's like a classic speech you're given of, right, we're leaving our Dalet Amma, we're leaving school, we're leaving yeshiva, we're leaving the Beis Medrash, we're leaving the seminary, and we want to make a Kiddush Hashem, we don't want to make a Chil Hashem. The things we do, the things we say, the way we act and interact with other people sets a certain tone, sets an understanding for people who are outside of our circle, and that's how they relate to religious Jews, right? The person who's working at the museum, the only relationship they have with religious Jews is that you know, that bratty group of fourth grade girls that came to the museum and made a huge mess, right? That doesn't set a positive example. But if everyone said thank you, you know, on their way in, and thank you on their way out, that would set a really great example of what, you know, the beauty of Torah is. And so Rav Shlomo Zalman, he's aware, and he factors that into the tshuva, and he says that, you know, if you were to treat them properly, they're going to really, you know, have a proper example. Right? Right? You might have said, well, what's the big deal? Just tell, you know, offer the guy a cup of water and say, you know, oh, it's a shahakol. You might not have known this cake, it's made with regular flour, it's mizonot. It's not made with, you know, corn flour. And the guy's going to, like, think you're like, okay, yeah. It's not a mizonot roll, it's hamotzi, the washing cups in the kitchen. Right? That's not going to be like you're in a covetic way trying to hint towards the bracha, but that's not necessarily going to be accepted. It's going to be considered a pekiah. I know that for Sukkot, we were by my in-laws, and they're the only two religious people in their entire building. They built a sukkah, they put it up, and they sent out a text to their building. If anyone wants, feel free to use the sukkah. And because of this, I said, you know what, we should print out a card and hang it on the wall with a bracha, leishiv basukkah. And if someone comes, it's not like a direct thing. Oh, there's a bracha on the wall. I might as well say it. Right? There's a way, there's a time and a place for everything. But if someone says, if you, like, you know, hand the guy a cup and say shahakli, give him like a little card that says the bracha, that's going to be considered, you know, that's going to be considered not necessarily confrontational, but it's not necessarily so comfortable. And so if someone's on that says, well, what's going to be the din? Am I going to be able to give him a cup of water or something to eat if they're not going to make a bracha? When on the flip side, it might come at a personal offense to the person, or even more so, it might push him away and give him a negative understanding of what religious Jews and what Torah-abiding Jews are all about. And we should say, we generally say, right, lifnei aver is going to be problematic. You're causing him to stumble, right? You're giving him a cup of water because if you didn't hand him a cup of water, he wouldn't have not made that bracha. He wouldn't have drinking. So you're enabling him to have the cup of water, which is then going to enable him to drink without making a bracha. That seems to be lifnei aver kipshuto, right? From the Makoros that we saw. So now let's see the tshuva inside. Choshvani, I think. Shenachon be'emet lechaber oto b'achila v'shtiyah. He opens up Rosh Hashanah, and the first thing he says, I think the right thing to do is to offer him something to eat and drink. Wait, Rabbi, he's not going to make a bracha lifnei aver. Come on, it's a Gemara. You know Gemaras, Rabbi. You're Gadol Ador. So why are you going to not tell me that you could give him food and drink? That seems crazy. And I wouldn't even be worried at all about the Isser of Lifnei Ever. What do you mean? Give him food and drink. He's not going to make a bracha. You said yourself at the beginning, don't, you know, awkwardly suggest him to make the bracha. So it seems very odd. You're telling me give him the food, give him the drink, and don't tell him to make a bracha, and that's not Lifnei Ever. It doesn't all add up here, right? All the pieces you're putting together, either I'm going to say, better to you be over Lifnei Iver because of Ben Adam L'Chaveiro being a mensch, or we're makpid for Lifnei Iver and don't give him the drink. But, you know, Rav Shlomo Zalman opening off, it seems a little bit odd because he's pulling the rope from both ends. You're giving him the food and drink. You're not suggesting he should make a bracha. And it's not Lifnei Iver. So, off the bat, Rav Shlomo Zalman seemingly is really taking a really crazy turn here. Even though we have a klal, you don't ever cause someone to be over a lesser isser in order to save them from a bigger isser. This is going to be a huge debate in many potential areas. Whether or not, would I suggest, if someone asks, should I do A or B? Do you ever say, oh, do the smaller isser instead of the bigger isser? If it's a choice thing, right? This is a famous question for those that Shalom Eda, it's a question that's asked very often. If you know that someone's gonna, a student who's in college is not so religious, is gonna sleep with someone, should she go to the mikveh or not? That's a famous question. Okay? Is it just an Isser Nida, bring it down to an Isser Darabanan maybe? Or no, better that she shouldn't go to the mikveh and it'll be an Isser Nida also. That's an interesting discussion, not for now at all, but that's gonna be our question here. Is there gonna be a time where I say, let's try and take the chamor iser, make it lesser because we're trying to, you know, overall in the bigger picture, okay, maybe it's only derabanan, maybe it's the oraita, not getting to that there, but we're going to try and shift things. So Shlomo says, we don't generally do that. Okay? Then he continues and he says, right, we don't generally try and say, oh, better to do the little iser to save yourself from the big iser if, you know, you can. That's not generally the way we do it. Okay? But in any case, our situation is different. Even though generally we say we don't prefer to do the lesser isser than the bigger isser, here it's different. Why? When it comes to handing him a cup of water or some cake, the only isser I'm doing is I'm giving him a stumbling block, right? I'm giving him the cup of water that he won't make a bracha on. And yes, that's bad. That is lefnei aver lo titen mechshol. Right? If I don't give him the cup of water, if I don't give him the plate of food, then the iser that he's going to be over is going to be significantly more chamor. And what's that? He's going to come to hate Jews. He's going to hate religious people. He's going to come to a sinah for other Jews. That's much more chamor than not saying a shahakal on a cup of water, or not saying a mazona on a piece of bread. I mean, a piece of cake. Or hamotzi on the sandwich, whatever it is, right? And as a result, Rav Shlomo Zalman says in a little bit of a lumnus way, came into lake ahacha shum netina mechshol, right? You giving him the cup of water is not giving him a mechshol. You're not putting a stumbling block there. Ella ma, ella adaraba. It's the exact opposite. Yesh kan hatzala min mechshol gadol meod. You're saving him from a much bigger danger. You're saving him from something much more chamor. Right? He had the option of drinking a cup of water without a bracha, or coming to a hatred for, oh, religious Jews and their rules. You know, you won't give me, I'm thirsty, I ask you for a cup of water and you say no because you won't give me something to, you won't, because I won't make a bracha. Right? So, I'm going to end up hating all religious Jews and resent them because of that. So Rav Shlomo Zalman says, this isn't Lifnei Iver where I put a stumbling block in front of him. Rather, I actively did something to save him from something so much more chamor. I actively went and gave him a cup of water so that he wouldn't hate religious Jews for the rest of his life. especially depending on the case we discussed, if it's an Adam Chashuv or a philanthropist or someone who has a lot of sway in the society, right? It's the mayor of the city and he can decide how much money goes to different schools or yeshivas, etc. That's going to have real serious ramifications on the community as a whole. So Rav Shlomo Zalman says, this is not called lifnei eiver, this is a light, literally you're saving the guy from something much more serious. V'nireh, shim echad ro'eh b'chaveiro sheshoteh yayin sheorla. What's going to be the din? You see someone drinking wine that was made from orla, right? It's taken from grapes that were grown in the first 3 years of our planting. Orla wine. Mutzer aser? Aser. Okay? Aser b'dioraita. And no matter what, right, the guy's addicted to wine, or he's not religious. He doesn't care. He will not stop drinking the wine. You could say, "Hey, Shimon, that's Orla wine. You really shouldn't drink that." Couldn't care less. He'll drink it in front of you and say L'chaim, right? So Rav Shlomo Zalman says, "What do we say? Is it better that I should get up, take his Orla wine, and switch it with Tevel wine, Tevel, which is not going to be, you know, the same extent of an iser. It's a much less iser. Or a wine that's stamienim, right? It's wine that was touched by a non-Jew or was made by a non-Jew that wasn't pasteurized, etc. So there, it's only going to be iser d'rabanan. Is it better that I said passively let him drink the iser d'oraita or actively switch it with the iser d'rabanan? The way we originally would have read the sugya, if I actively switched it for an iser d'rabanan, that would be lifnei eiver. Why? Because I just handed him an iser d'rabanan. Beforehand, he was drinking his iser d'oraita, I wasn't part of the picture. But when I actively switch it, that would be lifnei eiver. And Rav Shlomo Zalman says, no, that's not the case. It's not that you actively just handed him lifnei eiver. You just actively saved him from an iser d'oraita and gave him an iser d'rabanan. And that's why Rav Shlomo Zalman says, so to hear, we'd rather you actively do something that's much less chamor than something that's going to be significantly more far-reaching and going to have much worse ramifications in the big picture. Right, once again, you're not tripping him up, you're saving him from something so much worse. And then he says, you know, I'm not so sure how far we would go when we discuss how far do I take this chiddush. Right, he says, I'm not sure we're going to take this chiddush so far that we're going to say, you know, you should go and do things that might really be aser. Right, the footnote here brought down by his son, he was asked the shaila, right? That said, someone said, I have a butcher shop. Is it better that can I open my butcher shop on during the 9 days? I have a kosher lemahadrin, you know, butcher shop, and I want to open my shop during the 9 days. Why? Because there's people who don't keep the minhagim of the 9 days, and they eat meat, right? They don't care about the fact there's no beis hamikdash. They're not an avelos that there's no beis hamikdash. They eat meat, they drink wine, they sing, they dance, they get married, l'chaim. Right? So maybe it's better that I open my butcher shop and at least I'll eat kosher meat than going to the non-kosher shop. And maybe it's not going to be a problem of lifnei eiver anyhow because it's trei avrei dinahare, because the guy could just walk into the other store and buy it. So there's no problem of lifnei eiver to begin with. And Rav Shlomo Zalman told the guy, halacha l'maaseh, no, better you stay closed. I would think that goes against his psak. But Rav Shlomo Zalman says, there's a difference between, you know, some sort of public, you're opening a store that goes against the minhag, versus you are, you know, it's a one-on-one, someone's in your house, you're running a one-time event, and I forget what it is, there's a story regarding, it might have also been Rosh Hashanah, it could be someone else, regarding a company that had a cafeteria, or someone who sells sandwiches in a big company. Is it better that he sells the meat sandwiches during the 9 days, or that are kosher? Or if he sells dairy, or if he closes the cafeteria, people might eat elsewhere, and that'll be treif. Right? That's part of our discussion here. How far do I go? How far do I not go? So Rav Shlomo Zalman said, a store that's open on the shuk, everyone sees the religious guy who runs the butcher shop, that's going to be a problem, because that's befarhesia. But of course, when you have a plumber coming to your house, then you should offer him the cold water, because that's how he's going to relate to religious Jews for the rest of their lives. And here we see that delicate and beautiful balance with Rav Shlomo Zalman between the ben adam l'chaveru, the ben adam l'makom. The Chazon Ish strongly disagreed and felt that the chiddush of Rav Shlomo Zalman was not true. And as a result, the Chazon Ish says that in a case where it's an iser d'oraita, this of course is not true. And I could say I had this struggle when I was in the army. We were out in the field for like, I think it was like a 2 week stretch. And at one point, one of my commanders came over to me and said, it's a common thing, right? Almost every soldier always carries a lighter with them. It's very important to have a way to make fire at any given time in the army. Okay? And he came over to me, and he said, can I borrow your lighter? And everyone knew I had a lighter. And I kept it in my vest. Always, everyone knew I had a lighter. People came to me all the time for different things. And I knew he was a smoker, and he asked me to borrow my lighter, and I lied to his face. I said, no. I said, I don't have it. I lent it to Shimon. And so he went and go asked Shimon. And Shimon said, well, I gave it back to him like an hour ago. And back and forth. And afterwards, I went and I spoke to my Rashiv about this, and he said, no, what you did is right. Because smoking cigarettes is an Isser Dioraita, and as a result, of course, if you were to give him the lighter, he said, Rav Shlomo Zalman would have said it's mutter to give him the lighter. The Chazon Ish would agree. No, smoking cigarettes is an Isser Dioraita, and anyone who smokes is over an Isser Dioraita, and you shouldn't give him the lighter. And Rav Shlomo said, there was room to be made, I'll be Rav Shlomo Zalman, but Einechinami. As in, if you assume that smoking is an Isser Dioraita, which I think is Pashut, and anyone who understands anything about science or medicine would be an idiot to tell you otherwise, but that's a different issue, okay? Right, smoking is so dangerous to your health. V'charta b'chayim v'shmarta modet nafshotechem. Right, we could go on and on. So I didn't give him the lighter in this case. Right, even though Rosh Hashanah, the guy was like so frustrated. He's like, who has a lighter? And I whatever. But Rosh Hashanah would say, yeah, you should have given him the lighter. But because it was such a chamor case, like the Chazon Ish said, where it was an Isser Dio, right? The guy wants to smoke. He wants to kill himself, give himself lung cancer. I can't be part of that. Not only is it lifnei iver, it might be messiah. I might be. You know, I'm helping him kill himself. That's crazy. Okay? But point is, leaving smoking aside, this is amongst the many debates between Rav Shlomo Zalman and the Chazon Ish. After electricity, this is one of the most more well-known ones. This piece by Rav Shlomo Zalman is just, it's so critical in understanding not just how halacha works, right? His knowledge in and out of he knew the Gemara, he knows how it works. But he said, well, but we have to look at the bigger picture. It's not just halacha in a bubble or an aquarium, whatever box I'm currently standing in, but it interacts with the life, right? It's not, I don't look right now. What happens if you hand the plumber a cup of water? Oh, he doesn't make a bracha. And end of story. Rosh Hashanah said, no. How does this story play out? You don't give him the cup of water because right now he's not going to make a bracha. He's going to resent you. Next time you call him, oh yeah, we have a leaky toilet. Can you come? Oh, sorry. No, I'm busy. No, right? He's going to end up resenting religious Jews. He's going to, you know, that's going to cause a real problem for the community, for you personally, and as a whole, especially when it's someone who's you know, Adam Chashuv, who's Tomech B'Yeshivot, etc., who's a supporter of Yeshivot. He might stop his support. That's going to have much more, you know, the fallout as a result of it. It's not looking in the micro at the Misa of him drinking the cup of water without a bracha, but the macro, what are the ramifications? And then, so Rav Shlomo Zalman, based on that understanding of how the world works, how people work, how the Metzias is, he flipped it upside down and said, it's not called Lifnei Iver, rather, it's called Hatzala Mimichshol Yoter Gadol. You're saving him from something so much worse, so much more grave, so much more serious, and that's what we're trying to do. And he finishes off. Thus, it seems, depending on the situation, one has the opportunity or the permission, right? Halakhically, they have the leeway to give him the drink or the food, and you need to do it in certain situations. Even though that's active, you're actively giving him the cup of water. It's not like you're saying, oh, there's water in the fridge, help yourself. Right? That might have been a way around it. If you just told the guy, oh, there's cold water in the fridge and there's cups on the counter, feel free, or we have one of those Tommy Arba, one of those cooler machines on the counter, whatever. That might have been a way around it where you're saying, I know you're going to be working hard. Feel free, take water whenever you need. There, you're giving him the option, but you're not actually handing him the cup. That might have been a middle ground. We could argue that's probably still called a kumvase, honestly. But at the end of the day, what Rav Shlomo Zalman saying is we look at the bigger picture. Right? I don't want to come to a case where he's going to come to hate me. You're going to end up making him be over an Isser Dioraita of not hating your brother. And he says, you know, at the end of the day, he says, you know, we need to double, you know, because he says the Chazon Ish disagrees. But at the end of the day, this is really how Rav Shlomo Zalman paskened. Fascinating tshuva. This is why I said it's a very, very well-quoted tshuva. You know, whenever we discuss Lifnei Iver, you're never going to go into a shir about Lifnei Iver. That's not going to quote this Rav Shlomo Zalman and the Chazon Ish. That's kind of really the crux amongst the achronim in the world of Lifnei Iver. But this tshuva, besides for being an incredibly important halakha l'maisa tshuva to be aware of, to have in your halakhic toolbox, as situations come up in life, it's also something that shows you the a little bit into the worldview, the machshava of Rosh Hashanah, to understand the sensitivities as a religious Jew, as a posek, as a person needs to have about the people around them, how your actions don't only affect what's going on right now, but there's a bigger picture at hand. There are ramifications for our actions, not only immediately, but down the line, and those are things we have to take very seriously, and this Jew of Rosh Hashanah is honestly, it's fantastic, it's very well known, and it really was groundbreaking, because he himself said at the beginning, you know, this is the exact opposite we would have thought. But it involved taking that step back, looking at the bigger picture, seeing the Ben Adam L'Chavero relationship and how that develops and why that's different than the original cases. And that's something that's really, really fascinating, fantastic, and really beautiful about this tshuva as a whole and Rosh Hashanah as a personality. And I hope this was enlightening both on the halachic side as well as the personality side. Yashar koach.